Shema Israel.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light, the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our program today, Men of the World, was written by Joseph Mindell and was suggested by a parable in The Gift of Life by Dr. Ben Zion Boxer.
If I say that they were men of the world, you will surely know what I mean. Of course. Well then, the story is about certain men of the world. What if they lived in a small town far from the important places of the earth? What if they never saw a city and knew of a locomotive only by hearsay? What of it? Nothing is simple. The world is a confusion of opposites. Beauty in ugliness. Good from evil. Men of the world in a village square.
Is it you, Nathan? Good morning, Nathan.
Early.
Yes, Nathan, I agree with you entirely, but...
Ezra, what a world it is.
But it's too early in the morning for philosophy.
When is the right time? Tell me that.
I'll tell you something more important. Speaking professionally, I would say that you are suffering from sourness of the system. In a physiological sense, you understand.
What do you know about my physiology or my suffering?
Meaning that, after all, I'm not a doctor, eh?
Or a philosopher.
Permit me to remind you, my friend, that a pharmacist is not altogether without education or understanding. In your case, a simple mixture would work wonders. A few grains of soda, a pinch of subcarbonate of bismuth...
Ezra, do you have a medicine for sweetening the world?
There's a limit to pharmacy. For your sickness, you'd better speak to Reb Dovid, our rabbi.
But that's exactly it.
What is exactly what?
Reb Dovid. I felt it for the first time yesterday at the evening services.
Didn't you hear him?
Of course I heard. I listen as closely as you.
When he came to the portion, Slach Lanu Avinu, our Father, forgive us.
For we have sinned, pardon us, for we have transgressed. You don't have to translate for me.
He said the words so earnestly, with such anguish, as if they were torn from the roots of his heart. Today, at the morning service, when he came to the same words, Ezra, there were tears in his eyes.
If it were not 6 weeks after the Day of Atonement, I would think...
I'll tell you what I think. I'll tell you what I felt. At that moment, I felt the whole burden of the world's sin and wrongdoing as he feels it. I knew the torture of his soul at the thought of so much wickedness. Ezra, what a sad, evil world it is.
Sit down, Nathan.
You haven't been listening to me at all.
I heard. I'm thinking of what you've told me.
Then you feel it too.
Here, drink this.
I don't need your medicine.
It's not medicine. It's cherry syrup with water.
Drink it and calm down. Oh, you don't understand. So much goodness in one man, Ezra, in our rabbi. He can ask forgiveness for all mankind as if for his own sins.
I won't argue with you, Nathan. Rabbi Dovid is a pious man. But he's a man.
What a thing to say.
Now, you listen to me. I don't pretend to be a scholar, though I study the Talmud regularly. At the same time, you'll notice there on my bookshelf, chemistry, natural philosophy, the history of nations, Aristotle.
What are you getting at?
I may say without boasting that I am not a village ignoramus. That I am, in fact, something of a... Yes, a man of the world. And so are you in your calmer moments.
But what if I am? Then you know how emotion can overcome reason and logic.
You understand?
Yeah, not yet, but I'm listening.
Just consider, Nathan.
So much fervor, such anguish. Does a man pray with tears for forgiveness unless...
Unless what?
Unless it is for his own sin.
Ezra, you're talking about the rabbi. I'm not saying that it is certainly true.
Only where there is so much smoke.
I don't believe it. Logic, Nathan. Logic.
It's possible. Can you deny that it's possible?
I suppose it is possible.
Only now do I remember other signs. Nathan, we have to know for sure.
No, it's not our business. Unless you're suggesting that maybe we can help him.
There's that, of course. But we have to think of ourselves, the congregation, as well.
What does it have to do with us?
Don't you see, Nathan? He's our rabbi.
Of course, but...
Listen, that a congregation is sinful goes without saying. That's why a rabbi is needed. But if the rabbi himself... No. We must know for certain. Where are you going?
I'm going to ask him.
Fine.
Go ahead.
You'll step up to the rabbi and you'll say... What would you say?
I'll go to him and I'll say... I'll simply ask if...
You see? Nathan, we must know what kind of a rabbi we have. But there are other ways of finding out.
Oh, there! Wait, you'll get your supper soon enough.
Ilya, I'm glad to see you. I was saying to Reb Nathan only this minute, where has the man been hiding himself?
Me?
Isn't that what I said, Nathan?
What? Oh, yes, of course.
You're just the man I want, Ilya.
Why?
Why?
Because... Well, because I...
That's it. I have a package I want you to deliver.
Where to?
Well, we don't have to talk out here in the street, do we? Come. Now, sit down, Ilya, and make yourself comfortable.
A package, you said?
Oh, there's no hurry. Tomorrow will do just as well.
Oh, then I'll take my horse to the stable.
No. Rest a while. Nathan, hand me the bottle, please.
Oh, bottle. Not the cherry syrup.
Here, Ilya. Have a glass of wine.
Oh.
Strictly medicinal, you understand, for fatigue. After all, it's work driving the rabbi all day here and there. Now tell me, Ilya, where do you drive the rabbi?
Well, it depends on where he wants to go.
I see. And where does he want to go?
What's the difference to me? Here, there?
It's no use, Ezra.
Be still, Nathan. Today, for example, where did you drive the rabbi?
Today? It's Thursday? Well, on Thursdays, he...
Go on, Ilya, go on.
I don't think the rabbi would like me to tell.
How do you know? He didn't ask you not to tell, did he?
No, but...
Oh, have another glass of wine. Your health. As you said yourself, what's the difference? Here, there... Where, Ilya?
Well, it's different places... But it's always the same, if you know what I mean.
Well, say what you mean, and then I'll know.
Today, for example, we took the road to the city.
You hear, Nathan? He goes to the city, where who knows what...
No, we turned off just outside of town, onto a little road that goes past a house where a young widow lives with two small children.
Aha!
I won't listen. I don't want to hear any more.
Don't be sentimental, Nathan. Such things happen in the world. Go on, Ilya. You took him to the house of the widow, and then...
You're wrong. We drove right past the house.
God,
we drove a little way past, in among the trees. And then... You'll never guess what he did. Not in 100 years. He made me change clothes with him.
No.
Yes, and he rubbed mud on his face, bent his back, and he was the poorest, hungriest beggar you ever saw. I tell you, you would not have known your rabbi as he walked back to the widow's house.
Oh.
He knocked, she opened the door, he went in, and that's all.
That's all that you can tell.
What do you
the
take?
Rest you don't know.
What do you take me for? Would I let the rabbi go to a strange house alone? I followed him and looked in at the window.
What did you see?
What do you think I saw? A hungry beggar asking for food. What can a poor widow give him? A dry crust of bread. He takes it, the rabbi, and then wants to give something in return. But he has nothing. Only an old tarnished button that happens to be in his pocket, he says. He leaves it on the table and goes out.
That's all?
As I said, that's all. Only I wondered about it. This button. Before we changed clothes, I saw him cut it off his own coat. A button of solid silver. A strange man, this rabbi of yours.
Ezra, we can't talk here in the marketplace.
What is there to talk about, Nathan?
You know what? It's enough.
You're ready to stop before we find out anything?
There's nothing to find out.
Nathan, to a superficial mind, the variety of sins appears infinite. But to men of logic, it's clear that there is a limited number of categories. We have eliminated only one. Oh, look, there's the rabbi's servant.
You've been waiting to see her?
I wonder what she bought from Hannah.
You're not going to question his servant?
Of course not. You wait here, Nathan. I'm going to have a little talk with Hannah. Ah, I see you're busy, Hannah.
You'll have to wait, Reb Pharmacist.
Oh, I'm in no hurry. That's a fine specimen of the genus Anser.
What did you say?
The genus Anser of the family Anatidae. The scientific name, my good woman, for the common goose whose feathers you're plucking.
For your information, my good Reb scientist, this is no common goose. For the rabbi's dinner.
So? Our rabbi eats roast goose?
Why not, if he wants to?
Well, I only meant that he lives well, considering what the congregation can afford to pay him.
Did I say he has roast goose every day? This is a special occasion.
I see. He has perhaps laid his hands on a large sum of money.
Where have you been? The whole town knows.
Then it's true.
Absolutely definite. Reb Eliezer, the rabbi's sainted teacher, has decided to stop here on his way to the academy.
Oh.
And the goose is in his honor.
But the principle is the same. It is certainly a mitzvah to honor a teacher, especially with roast goose.
And what a goose. If you only knew how far I went to find such a bird, and how much I myself had to pay for it.
Precisely.
What does that mean? Precisely?
Simply this. Honor is honor. But for a fat goose, a man needs cash in hand.
True, Red Ezra. Very true. I'm beginning to understand what it means to be a scientist, a philosopher, a man of the world.
Now, never mind that. The question is, where did so much money come from all of a sudden? Now, don't go away, Hannah.
You will have to excuse me. The rabbi's wife is waiting.
How did he pay you? In coin? I asked you a question, Hannah. Why don't you answer?
Because I'm a very polite person. I don't like to tell you to mind your own business.
I'm not asking for myself.
For someone else as well? Then please be good enough to give him the same message.
This concerns the whole congregation. Insult me if you can't help it, but answer me.
The rabbi sent his servant just now to pay me.
In banknotes. What denominations?
Reb Ezra, for the sake of peace in your own heart, I hope you know what you're doing.
Rabbi David sent his wife's gold ring.
Be generous unto us, and grant us knowledge, understanding, and discernment, O our Father.
He's coming to that portion, Ezra. We should be ashamed to have such thoughts. Just listen to him. How can I if you keep talking?
Unto thee in a wholehearted return. Praised be thou, O Lord, who desirest man's return. Our Father, forgive us, for we have sinned. Our King, pardon us, for we have transgressed. For thou dost forgive and pardon. Praised be thou, O merciful God, who dost abundantly pardon.
Nathan, you were right. We will have to ask Rabbi David himself. Believe me, Reb David, it was not easy for us to say these things.
I can believe it, Ezra, but you said them. And now?
Now we are waiting for an answer.
Well, that is not an easy thing either. What shall I tell you?
Tell him he's not your judge, Reb David. Tell him that he has a wicked imagination.
Is that what you think, Nathan? Then you could have told him.
I did, Rabbi. I did.
Yet you are also here.
Rabbi,
It doesn't matter. An answer is still required.
Oh, no, not for me.
For you, for Ezra, maybe for me as well. It begins with the prayer, doesn't it? Our Father, forgive us, for we have sinned. How often you have said it?
3 times a day, every day, like you.
Like me, Ezra. We used to say the words together, and they dropped easily from our lips, because the heart is eager to confuse, to say we... and mean they. That's how it used to be.
A man can speak only for himself.
Then I will speak for myself. Ezra, the prayer is a flame. The words burn my throat. They sear my lips. One word, not we, but I. Forgive me, for I have sinned.
I understand. Come, Nathan. It's time to go.
Wait. That's all you have to say?
You've made it clear. What is there to say? Rabbi, I'm sorry.
That's not enough, Ezra.
What do you mean?
You have no other questions? There's nothing more you want to know?
Well, it's not for us to ask what you've done or why. Rabbi, there are some things I don't want to know.
And you still don't understand.
Nor did they understand when Rabbi David arose and led them into the street and through the empty marketplace.
Where are you taking us, Rabbi?
Even a question that is not asked must be answered.
He smiled a strange, gentle smile, and continued under the afternoon sun through a field in which the birds sang with the innocence of Eden's world, as in the days before Adam knew good and evil. And Ezra followed with Nathan until they came to a stream at the edge of the field.
Oh, Gesundheit, Rabbi.
Thank you, Hannah.
If you're looking for somebody, there's no one here but me. I'm late with my laundry today.
Oh, we didn't mean to disturb you.
Oh, you're not disturbing me. If I don't finish my washing today, then I can't iron tomorrow. And when the Sabbath comes... what are you staring at, Nathan?
To tell you the truth, I don't know.
And you, Reb Ezra? I'm washing my husband's shirt. Why are you studying me as if I were a book?
Maybe he wants to learn something, Hannah.
From me? Oh, why not?
I've often thought I could teach our Reb pharmacist a thing or two.
Rabbi, I didn't have to come so far to be insulted.
Did you insult him, Hannah?
Didn't I, Rabbi?
Well, it seems to me that you only stated a fact. And the fact is that a man never knows from whom he will learn. You still have nothing to ask, Ezra? No? Well, then, I will leave you here. Hello, Malachim.
Peace be with you.
But the angel of peace was not with Ezra, nor with Nathan, as they watched Rabbi Dovid walk back across the field.
If he wants to tell us something, why doesn't he say it?
Why not, indeed? I do not pretend to know all that was in the rabbi's thoughts and in his heart, but I will tell you what I think. Words have wings with which to escape the understanding. There are other ways of telling that which the soul must comprehend. And I also think that is why Ezra remained standing where he was, at the edge of the stream.
Since you're still here, Reb Ezra, please be good enough to hand me that shirt. Reb Ezra, there on the ground.
What shirt?
Near your feet.
Hmm? Oh, this one?
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Well, my husband's shirt is honored. Last week, the rabbi himself handed it to me.
He was here? What did he say?
I'll tell you exactly. He said, "What shirt?"
Well, I thought that maybe... I thought he might have spoken of other things.
You can be sure that with me he doesn't talk Kabbalah or philosophy. No. He held the shirt in his hands and examined it as if he had never before seen a dirty shirt. And then he shook his head. You know how sad he sometimes looks? And he sighed. Hannah, he said. Hannah, how long it takes a man to learn.
He was talking about us, Ezra.
This was last week, Nathan. It's not possible.
Imagine, Hannah, he said. A thing soiled by the labor of each day is cleansed and made ready for tomorrow. But he was wrong, you know.
He was?
Of course. It was my husband's good shirt for the Sabbath. He wears it when he goes to the synagogue, when he reads a little Talmud, when he takes a little nap, and that's all.
Ezra...
Just listen, Nathan. Go on, Hannah, go on.
Look for yourself, Hannah, the rabbi said. Surely your husband must have worked in this shirt. Rabbi, would I let him wear his good shirt to work in? And how could it get so soiled, he said. I've wondered myself, Rabbi, and I've thought, and I've reached a conclusion. You have, he said? I have, I said. I believe it becomes soiled simply by being in the world. Why are you staring at me, Reb Ezra?
What did you say?
He looked at me like that, too. And he cried out, "Oh, Hannah, Hannah, Hannah." And then he said a blessing.
Praised be thou, O Lord, who givest of thy wisdom to flesh and blood.
Yes. Yes. Why? What did I say? That a shirt becomes soiled simply by being in the world.
No, Hannah, not a shirt. That's not what Rabbi Dovid meant.
Surely I do not have to tell you what he meant. It is enough to say that we are not angels in heaven, where good is established and evil has no place. Where we are, the balance trembles. Right is compromised. Evil is done for the sake of good. Because after all, a man must live.
Our Father, forgive us, for we have sinned. Our King, pardon us, for we have transgressed.
Amen.
Then hear the prayer. Let us also say amen. Knowing that if the soul, a delicate garment, is tarnished simply by living in the world. Nevertheless, it is not so fragile. It can be scrubbed clean each day. then you will understand, I know, what is required of us. For are we not all men of the world? If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Mr. Herbert Abeles, President of the Council of Jewish Federations and Welfare Funds and past President of the Jewish Community Council of Essex County, New Jersey. Mr. Abeles.
Where we are, the balance trembles, our narrator has said. No man who is of this world can doubt it. The balance trembles between democracy and dictatorship, between the belief that the state is the servant of man and the doctrine that men are slaves to the state. The balance trembles, and there is sickness in the world, the sickness of man's conflicts, the bitterness of man's poverty, of persecution and degradation. And Nathan asks Ezra, "Do you have medicine for sweetening the world?" The answer of the rabbis is yes. It is an old prescription, transmitted by Moses. It is the reality that no man can live unto himself, that all of us are dependent upon all others. We are our brother's keeper, and he is ours. Down through the centuries, the conviction of Judaism has remained firm that the evils of mankind are made by men, can be corrected by men, can be prevented. The obligation to prevent them has always been the highest calling of Judaism. In this complex society, massive needs can be met only by massive action. The ills we face arise not from individuals alone, nor can they be met by individuals alone. Currently, hundreds of leaders of communities throughout America are gathered here in New York to study and plan for meeting the needs in the year ahead. They will be prepared to rescue tens of thousands from degradation, bring them to Israel, to the United States, and to other lands, build the bridge from survival to self-support, and thus write another momentous chapter in the unending story of man's humanity to man. Another major part of the mobilization of our Jewish communities, enrolling tens of thousands of volunteers, enlisting over 1 million families, will be to serve our neighbors in our own communities, the aged, the sick, our youth, and our families, to build stronger communities in a stronger America. It is modern organization for a modern world, but it is imbued with an ancient spirit. It is the spirit of the rabbi in our parable who cut the silver button from his coat to help the widow for her crust of bread. It is the spirit in this season of Hanukkah, meaning dedication, which must kindle the lights of the world anew.
Thank you, Mr. Abeles. Our eternal light drama today, Men of the World, was written by Joseph Mindell and was suggested by a parable in The Gift of Life by Dr. Ben Zion Boxer. Cantor Robert Siegel sang the liturgical introduction. Featured in the cast were Leon Janney, Louis Van Ruten, Roger DeCoven, Mitzi Gould, and Guy Repp. Your narrator was Norman Rose. This is Lionel Rico speaking. Our program is directed by Parker Gibbs. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is the NBC Radio Network.